Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet World, West Alabama. How are we doing today on this Wednesday? Happy Hump Day. It is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys are checking us out on the Bama Central YouTube page, listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. We appreciate everybody who subscribed, rated, reviewed the show on your favorite podcast platform. It helps the show so much. We're seeing a few more reviews go in there. A 1-star, a 5-star, a little mixture. If you want to just rate us a up-and-coming recruit, 3-star, there we go. You can rate us right there on Apple Podcasts. We're live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios just off McFarland Boulevard wearing our khakis today. You can check out his sign out front right there. He brought the new sign, and it's a marquee that he has a fun little thing, sayings on his marquee. Call Derek for all of your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. We're going to have a lot of fun in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios today with Mason Woods. Follow Mason Woods at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. You can find him right there writing all things recruiting for the Walsh Writing Network, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI, Missouri Tigers, Vanderbilt, and Boston College. We're trying to cover it all right there on the Walsh Writing Network. We're also getting ready for the NFL season. NFL 100 countdown got started really yesterday. Quinnen Williams coming in at 87. So things are heating up. 52 days away from Alabama Crimson Tide getting its season kicked off. What did I write last night for roll call? Last night, way too late, 30. It was 52 days, 52 Tyler Booker days away from Alabama football getting kicked off. We'll have a few things that I want to get into today. We want to talk about recruiting just a little bit. I want to talk about SEC Media Days next week a little bit. We've got a voicemail in the tank. You can always leave us a voicemail at 205-462-7340, extension 800. If you want to be a part of the show, if you got a question, a comment, a query, or a complaint, you can leave us a voicemail or do it right there at JoeGaither6 or at Bama Central on the YouTube channel. We got a few YouTube clips that we clipped out yesterday. We're trying to do a little better getting the show spread out there. So yesterday was a good day, and I'm hoping to hear back from the T-shirt company today that I dropped off a few shirts so Mason and I can wear a shirt or two on the show on Thursday and Friday. So we're going to have a lot of fun. We're also going to be joined by Joe Wood of New Era Wrestling joining us towards the back half of the show. We're going to be talking about this weekend's Star Spangled Bash. If you are in Jasper, Alabama, 7:30, you can join us at Swan Gym. Find tickets right there on all my Facebooks, all my social medias, on Twitter. You can find tickets right there. The link is on Eventbrite. Use promo code LarryD for a little bit of a discount. We're going to have a lot of fun on Saturday. I'll be doing the guest ring announcing on Saturday in Jasper, Alabama. And I got asked to do more guest ring announcing on the next Saturday, July 19th, up in Oneonta. I'm looking for a little more details to figure that out, but I think I'm going to be right there downtown Oneonta. They said right there on Main Street, outdoor location, no barrier between the crowd and the ring. Ooh. So that'll be a lot of fun. We're trying to maybe we'll catch Tony Khan's attention. That's the goal. Tony Khan's attention. I can fly over to Jacksonville and do his his shows, but in between all the Alabama football stuff, I'll be on the Pat McAfee track right there. That'll be a lot of fun. So we want to have a little fun with you today in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. Let me pull this voicemail in as I ask Mason Woods, how we doing? How was your night last night? I know you wrote about Brayden Roush choosing the Tennessee Volunteers, and hopefully that goes well for him. That makes me a little not so happy because how we feel about Tennessee, but hope it works out for him. How are you doing today, sir?
Yeah, doing good today. continues to be the same old thing on the recruiting trail. Alabama, it's a bit of an unfortunate miss, but I think it's kind of just allows them to turn their attention to maybe some more talented prospects out there that they are, looking at on the recruiting trail. Maybe a 5-star, maybe an in-state guy. We will have to see.
All right. Well, you got to keep up with Mason Woods for all of your recruiting needs. right there on Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. We're going to have a little recruiting discussion today after we play this voicemail. I didn't save it properly. Now it's saved. Now it's in my tank. Here we go. Right there. We're going to talk a little bit about recruiting because I want to look through historically through the Nick Saban recruiting classes and see what the number is, what the most five stars Nick Saban has ever brought in a single class. We'll do that after we take our voicemail. We're going to go right out to the voicemail line and see what's popping.
Hey, guys, Cam here. I just wanted to call in and ask a couple questions. First, I want to start off saying love the show. Y'all do an awesome job. First question. What position group gives y'all the most concern heading into next year? Me, personally, I think it's the offensive line. It was borderline atrocious last year, giving up over 20 sacks last year, all the penalties, and the run game being non-existent. And this question is for Mason.
Okay. We'll take them one at a time. Just because I'm my ADD brain, I won't be able to get to. I'll go off on a tangent on something else, and we'll miss one of these questions. So, position group that gives you the most concern, and Cam says offensive line for him. Ooh, offensive line. Okay, I think that's a great. I think that's a great one. I do.
That's a good pick.
I think that's top three.
I think I know mine.
Go for it.
Inside linebacker.
Ooh! I like that. Go elaborate just a little bit, and then I'll surprise you with mine.
I mean, you know, I think with, you know, Deontay Lawson, we're a little questionable on his health. You bring Nakai Hill-Green in, who is an older guy who has a lot of experience, but not experience at Alabama. It's experience in the Big 12, experience at other schools that isn't necessarily the same caliber of play as the SEC. So I think you just have a little bit of a question mark there. You know, we've talked about Deontay Lawson specifically a lot and his injury. And, you know, I don't think that there's really a much of a concern of him coming back. You have said it yourself. Medicine has changed a lot. And with him being an elite athlete, there's no reason to think that he will not have a full recovery and be, you know, back to 100% on the field in no time. But there's just a little bit of kind of nagging concern there. So I think if you have to pinpoint one, I'd probably go there. But other than that, I don't really know. I do like offensive line, but I don't know.
I like offensive line as well as a pick. But I'm going with special teams.
Oh, that's good.
I'm going with the special teams as a whole. I love the fact that I don't even have your camera back because the connection's so bad today. It's not your connection. I'm getting a little internet signal up here. Okay.
I do like that pick. Special teams is good. I think regardless of the transfers they brought in, I don't know that any of them really move the needle for you one way or the other. So you're not – I don't know that you really filled any gaps that you had there.
Right. I mean, you brought in Graham Nicholson last year, and he kicked, what, 3 field goals the whole year, 4 field goals the whole year. And thankfully, like, you didn't have to do that a ton. But doesn't look – are you headed back to the days of Alabama fans are turning their backs on fourth downs? You've had a lot of great punters, J.K. Scott and James Burnup in the recent years, but back-to-back basically. I think offensive line's a great pick I think offensive line is a great pick.
As far as what you're going to see, sure. Uh-huh. You'll see that a lot more than you'll see the special teams unit, probably.
But if you can't make a field goal.
Ooh, that's a great safety net to have that Alabama has had. That's not something I really even considered.
Yeah, if you can't make a field goal and if you're punting. If your punter is not boom, like James Burnup the last 2 years was booming it down the field, giving the defense a long field to work with. And I do think that Burnup, that the defense will be good really no matter what field that they have. We saw them towards the back half of the year really step up, and I think they will be good. I think offensive line is probably the best pick here, but I just hate like following somebody and just having the same opinion. We'll go back to the offensive line. We talked about it a few times, maybe about a month ago. We haven't talked about it lately, about how hyped up the offensive line is. You see Pro Football Focus having them in the top five, having some of them, you know, it depends on what you look at. Number one, offensive line, blah, 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 returning.
Sure.
And you've got Proctor, Brailsford, and Roberts all returning. But how many times, like the conversation we've had a couple times, what, 2 months ago, how many years do you go into, oh, the offensive line's going to be so good, blah, blah, blah. And they were not good last year. Now, Jalen Milroe's holding on the ball a little too long as well.
That may have had something to do with it.
Yeah, I think it's little column A, little column B. But, I mean,
you have three guys that I think two in Jaden Roberts and Caden Proctor that could very likely be first-round picks. And then a third in Parker Brailsford, who probably has the talent of a first-round selection, but due to positional value will not be one. So, you're doing pretty good. I think it's just the two gaps that you have you're very unsure of. We've talked about Wilkin Formby taking over that right tackle spot. I like Wilkin. I think he's going to do great. But it's a big question mark. And then you have Olas, you have the transfer, Cam Dewberry, any of those guys taking over. And it's just more question marks. I don't really know about those last two remaining spots. And those are pretty important spots on the offensive line when there's only five of them.
My math is terrible, so I'll pull up a calculator before I say this. Three. Yeah. If you're solid. If you're really solid at three positions, three out of five is 60%. That's a failing grade. And I don't think that Wilkin or Cam Dewberry are going to be failing. No. I'm not trying to say that at all. I think Wilkin's going to actually have a good year. But if you're going in to a year with your position group, three out of five, you're feeling good about. That's still a failing. It's still big. I think Cam brings up the right position to be concerned about. I just didn't want to follow him and say, yeah, offensive line. Because to me, there's just more questions in the special teams room because you don't know what's going on. You don't know who's going to replace Braille, who's going to replace James Burnup. You've got Connor Talty and this, you've got
Alex Asparov.
Yeah. And what, Blake Dowd?
Blake Dowd, yeah. From Colorado School of Mines. That's where he's from, I think.
Right, but he's long snapping. Yeah,
David Bird, too.
He's long snapping.
David Bird.
No,
as
Bird
well.
Is long snapping.
Bird is long snapping. That's right.
Blake Dowd.
Dowd was the punter.
Right.
But David Bird is the snapper from Cal. Yes. Punter from Colorado School of Mines is the other guy.
Correct. So perhaps.
Not really world beaters out of the transfer portal there.
But, well. Do you think that they learned their lesson last year? We went out, or maybe not learned, but are adjusting. We went out and got a Lou Groza Award winner, and then we only kicked like 5-6 field goals. And I don't know what they paid Graham Nicholson, but I'm sure it wasn't exactly cheap. And so they're like, let's get a little better value
here. What do you think he got paid per field goal? come on, it had to have been his dollars per kick had to have been through the roof. DPK.
Yeah, let's not up Joe. He actually kicked 10 field. He was 8 of 10 last year. 8 of 10. He did kick you 53 extra points, 100% on the extra points. So great job. But he put up his lowest amount of points in college. His freshman year, he scored 81 points at Miami, 80 points his sophomore year, 116 points his junior year, and then came to Alabama and scored 77 points.
Did he make $100,000 per kick?
Yeah. A field goal?
I think that,
yes.
Yeah, field goal. Not, yeah.
Yeah.
Per field goal. Mm-hmm. I think that he might have.
I think I would bet yes on that.
Yeah, I imagine there were some lessons learned there.
Yeah, we need to back off, and maybe Connor Talty is going to be great.
Sure,
I'm not saying that it's a room that is probably bad. I'm saying it's a room that we don't know much about.
You know that there's just like a little bit of an awkward elephant in the room tension there where. He knows that they know that he knows, and everybody's Connor Talty knows he's being overpaid. They know they're overpaying, but nobody wants to address it because obviously he's not going to say anything about it, and they're not going to say anything about it so as to not anger him or anything.
Well, it's not overpaid if they actually use him, and look, if Nicholson would have been 10 for 10, he only what? He missed against Wisconsin. Where's my field goal? Right there. You miss against Wisconsin, and you miss one against Tennessee. Now, I would have liked to have that Tennessee kick because you're not really sure. You end up losing to Tennessee by 7. You make a field goal. When was that in the game? I'm not sure. Remember. But at every point matters, and momentum and this, that, and the other. Yeah, to me, Cam is right. Offensive line is probably the right answer. Inside linebacker is probably where I'm looking on the defense. But there's just so much question mark in the specialist room. I was told, I exchanged some emails with the power to the B over at the university yesterday, and I was told that I will get to speak to Coach DeBoer next week like I did last year. Thank you for that. Now, hopefully, sometimes that does fall through and that, craziness at SEC Media Days, but I was told that I'm on the list, which is great. Thank you for that. Maybe I'll ask him, hey, how's the kicking? How's the kicking game going? We hear all this about the offense. Everybody's talking about who's going to be the quarterback. Who the heck's replacing Graham Nicholson? Who's replacing James Burnup, and how you feeling about it?
You tell me about the long snapper, Coach?
James Burnup.
Maybe he'd just like do a Belichick and just go off on like a tangent for an hour and talk to you about long snappers or something. That'd be pretty sweet.
That might be the funniest way for me to like use his time. not talking about Keelan, not talking about Tyson.
He might appreciate it, honestly, and he probably would remember it. He'd be like, who's that one guy that asked me about the kickers? I remember that gentleman.
That's actually not a bad idea. If you've got questions for Coach DeBoer, I will absolutely take them. Last year, I think I ended up getting six, seven. Coach was super great, with his time, and the powers that be were great allowing me to have that time last year out in Dallas. I'm hopeful that I got positive emails. You just never know how it's going to work. Next Wednesday, I will be down there on the floor as early as possible so that I can be in line. You never know how that's going to go. So point being, if you do have questions for Coach DeBoer, leave them in our comments at MAWoods_, at JoeGaither6, Bama Central, all those places. You can leave them right there, and we'll try to construct the best 6-question interview that we can for Coach DeBoer next week. Now,
what do you think over under is? How many times he's going to be asked? What can you tell us about the quarterbacks, Coach? That day has to be just beyond exhausting.
If I were him,
coach, player, whoever, the person going table to table, microphone to microphone, person to person, and answering the same 5 questions, basically. Mm-hmm.
If I were him, I would get with the powers that be, and I would just start recording answers. Hey, Coach, what do you think about Ty Simpson's development?
I'll take this one, Coach.
Number two, boom. What do you think about...
back there with a yeah. Soundboard.
And he's just got his little speaker. Well, what's the leadership like on the team? Our leadership room, but he's just going line by line.
Yeah, I think that's your move, though. You gotta just figure out how you can... separate yourself from everyone else who asks the same 3, 4, 5 questions about the quarterbacks, about whatever. You gotta throw some unique ones in there. I don't think anybody's gonna be asking about the kicker and the punter.
All right. What questions will not be on the playback buttons? Quarterback's gonna be on the playback buttons. You're gonna get, offensive line questions, Cam. I think you're exactly right that is a huge place to be thinking about this year, especially at the right guard position, left guard and right tackle positions. Yeah, we got to figure out some questions for Coach DeBoer that are not going to be on those like automatic answers.
I think that's good. That's a good avenue to go down.
Yeah. All right. So thank you so much, Cam, for that part of the question. I think, Mason, you're up next with the part number 2. Let me back this up a couple seconds and finish this voicemail.
Non-existent. And this question is for Mason. Mason, when was the last quarterback to win the Heisman Trophy and national championship in one season? I appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Joe Burrow?
That's what I was thinking off the top of my head this morning after I read the transcript. I was going, you know how my mind works? My mind worked. I was thinking about this because I read this transcript late last night. I was like, all right, I'll think about it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I thought, when was the last quarterback to win a Heisman Trophy and a quarterback? Was it Matt Leinart? Yes. And then I was like, was it Cam Newton? So I'm just going down.
I started at Tebow and worked my way up.
Yes. And I was like, okay, Leinart to Cam Newton. And then I was like, Joe Burrow. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't Devontae Smith in 20 after Joe Burrow. It wasn't Bryce Young in 21. You keep on going. That's what I want. There's what I want right there. Ooh, 22. Was that Calamari? 22. No, Caleb was, Williams, yeah, our guy, bear down. Okay. Caleb Williams and then Jaden Daniels in 23. So not him and not Travis Hunter last year. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow, baby.
Yeah, I don't. Those are not like those two things have nothing to do with each other. you can win a Heisman, you can win a national championship, you can do one or the either, you can do both. It is I don't. It's been done every which way.
Mac Jones, double Stetson Bennett, right?
Yeah,
double Stetson Bennett.
Where are those quarterbacks now?
J.J. McCarthy, right? J.J. McCarthy, Michigan.
Yeah. Jury's still out on McCarthy, I guess, but where are any of these guys? I think that's where, I guess, my difference is with the people that disagree with me is I am looking at Will Howard. This quarterback's career, not just the 2 years they spent starting in Alabama. I get that a lot of people only care about that, you know, that 24 months that he spent starting for their football team. But I am judging this quarterbacks off of their body of work. Mac Jones' body of work is not great. What were the other examples you threw out there? Stetson Bennett's body of work, not great.
Not in the NFL anymore.
You know, they're not good quarterbacks. They had amazing teams around them where all they had to do was not be awful.
Is he back with the Rams after?
I think he's on that. I think he's in that. I think he's I don't think he's on the player. I think he's on the staff or something I saw. Maybe I'm making that up. I want to say I thought I saw that, though. Again, might be totally making that up. But yeah, like these are not these teams. We have gone over this time and time again. None of those teams won championships because of that quarterback, because of the quarterback play. You could have thrown it was all they had to do was not be terrible.
But Ty can do that.
I think Ty can do that. I just want to see more. Keelan Russell and Austin Mack can do that and more. I don't think Ty has that more. I think Ty only has he can be not terrible. And maybe I'm wrong. I would love to be proven wrong. I just don't. I'm not sure I see it.
I'm tagging you in this today.
I see a pretty good college quarterback.
Okay.
I see the elite high end could be like at that Joe Burrow, at that new Kyler Murray, at that elite Heisman level play out of Austin Mack and Keelan Russell.
Keelan for sure.
Keelan definitely. Austin less. Austin is much more just my own brain projection. Keelan, you see it.
Man, 8A, was that impressive for you?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
I mean, it was impressive.
No, I mean, I think it's more just everything we've seen, even at the high school level, because even when you watch what Ty did at the high school level, it was not nearly as impressive as what Keelan did.
I think you're just hating on my Tennessee high school football. You know,
I am, to an extent.
I played high school football in Tennessee. Played, mm-hmm. Good quotation. Uh-huh.
Quotations. I don't think this is helping your argument.
Come on, I was a 5-star. I think you're just hating on a little TSSAA right there.
It might be.
Oh gosh. Okay, so let's further this just a little bit. What is we joked what 2 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. We joked about 2 weeks ago. 12 of 18 for 135 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions. Mm-hmm. Of the first week against Florida State. That's and I'll be I'll be thrilled. So where is the other end of the bar? Like so, if you do that, if you're 12 of 18. One let's be more realistic, 158, 162, sure. something like that.
Less than 200 right. is really what's important there.
Okay, right, perfect. 162, and a touchdown and no interceptions. You've won the game.
24-17.
Right. Okay, perfect. Perfect. I don't think they're scoring 17.
Probably not.
Yeah, but you, it's 24 points.
Yeah.
Perfect. You've got a couple rushing touchdowns. You know, Richard and Jam both got in the end zone as well.
You got your $100,000 field goal.
So you've won. And we're back here in the studio on Monday, and you're saying, look, I told you so, just a game manager, blah, blah, blah. We need more. We need to see more. You know, you're going to Athens, you're going to mm-hmm. Williams-Brice Stadium, all these places. Auburn's going to be going nuts, even though they're going to be bad. They're going to be trying to save Hugh Freeze's job.
Auburn got him one yesterday.
Did they?
Four-star. But
from?
Florida, West Palm Beach.
I bet you.
Adam Balogun Ali. Balogun Ali, something like that. I think that's Balogun Ali.
My ADD brain just kicked it. How much do you think Hugh Freeze paid for that commitment? Or promised, because we can't pay anything yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
Things are going bad, man. We need to jump on board. We need you to jump on board today. What's it going to cost for you to jump on board today?
Now, I don't want to badmouth any programs, you know.
Sure. I'm sorry. That was inappropriate of me.
He was down to Missouri and Kentucky as his other finalists, so I don't know how many big-time programs are necessarily busting down his door for his services. So it might not be, you know, it's on paper. Yeah, it looks great for you, Auburn.
They need the optics, and so we're going to up the number to pay for the optics.
Sure. Yeah, but yeah, they at least got him one.
Great. Good job, Hugh.
Where even were we?
Go sell. I know where we are. Go celebrate your commitment by playing around a golf. You go hit the driving range and smoke you a cigar and you know, try to stripe a few. All right, so you're 12 of 18 for 162, a touchdown, and a win over in Florida State. And you're sitting here feeling vindicated by, okay, everything I've said is feeling good. Okay, where's the bar for Ty Simpson? Where's the bar the other way? Where you're like, I was wrong. Yeah. Maybe he does have it. Is it like let's play a game.
Probably 275 and three touchdowns.
Okay,
300, three touchdowns.
And we don't care about completion percentage. We just want to make it happen.
No, I mean, I think we're definitely, you know, you got to be hovering right around that 65 plus probably.
So. All you got to do is hit Latsia Brooks for all you got to do is hit Ryan Williams for a little screen pass right on the outside and let him just go Julio Jones style 80 yards down the sidelines against LSU.
If that's the case, we will be having the more in-depth discussion that Monday morning or Tuesday, I guess it may be at that time. Who knows? About, all right, don't just stat watch, you know, look at what he actually did. You're just gonna have to see it. I think I've said it before. It's like profanity. I'm gonna have to see it, and I'll know it when I see it. If I see it, I'll say that's it. I was wrong, but until that moment, I am not wrong.
Yeah, what do you think? Ryan Grubb protects him, but he has a few wild plays. He protects him with play calling. Just kind of keep you in the. Keep you within the offense, but you know that 1/3 and 7, that 1/3 and 12,
where this is where you go earn it.
Man comes free off the left side, and Ty Simpson puts that spin move on him, and then hits the pro day pass.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Hits the pro day pass, flips the hips, and bombs it to Isaiah Horton.
I'll say, I'll come in and I'll say that was a nice play. That was awesome.
So we only need one.
We need a game, a game's worth of play. But I will be more than happy to admit that I'm wrong if I am.
That's okay. I'm just trying to find out. Like, I'm trying to box you in here, so that after the week one happens, we can say.
Well, I mean, there's not going to be a hard line that you can set it at. It's just going to
700 yards, 18 touchdowns.
You're just going to have to see it. You and I and a lot of people at home all know what elite quarterback play looks like, and you know what elite quarterback play does not look like, and you know it when you see it. So,
but Mac was technically, like, a lot of times bad mouthing Mac Jones, he was elite in 20.
He was not.
I mean, you got to pass it to Devontae.
He was not bad.
You got to pass it to Devontae.
It was a lot of, let me throw the ball 7 yards total in the air and then have the receiver run the remaining 50.
Well, that's Tua's rep play.
Tua did that too.
Tua was elite. He spun that ball, baby.
Tua had a little bit more of it than Mac did, but the frailty has cut his career short, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Also, I don't know that he was ever cut out to be in the NFL for a super long time anyway. I think that defenses are starting to kind of hone in on him a bit anyway, as is.
All right.
Well, but that's beside the point. I'll know it when I see it. And when I see it week one, or if I see it week one, I will gladly come in here and I will wear the clown costume, you know, like I'll
put the make.
Yeah, I'll do it. I got to see it. I'm not going to. Ty Simpson, he is not. There's nothing there that I'm going to just put blind faith into. Keelan Russell, I'm okay doing that with.
Because it's Texas, not Tennessee.
That has a lot to do with it.
Okay. I mean, that's not a, I can't hate on you for that, really, because I played Tennessee high school football and not in Texas. Yeah, I would have been a water boy in Texas.
Yeah, me too. They wouldn't have even let me in the band. Like,
exactly. That'd be on you.
Yeah, they do it different dummy out there. Yeah.
Well, we'll find out. Cam, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. Jumping in on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. Let's take a pivot here. Mason, let's put aside the recruiting discussion so that we don't have to do all the research on air.
Have it.
Trash, taking the trash out. Yeah.
I have from 2012, which apparently is the earliest year that we can now get the star rankings on 247.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. 2008 to 2011. They just have.
They erased Julio Jones?
Gone for some reason. Why? For what reason do we need to get rid of that information? it's so stupid. That's a whole other tangent I could go on. There's no reason that they needed to delete that. But anyway, it is deleted. So we had to start at 2012. But yeah, I do have the list here if you want to run down the amount of 5 stars from 2012 to now 2026.
Yeah, give it to me real quick.
All right, we got 4 5-stars in 2012, 6 in 2013, 6 in 2014, 4 in 16, 7 in 2017, 4 again in 2019, 4 again in 2020, 7 again in 21, and 4 23, 5 and 24, and 5 this year.
All right, so 7.
If you're counting Xavier Correll, which I will, because some people list him as a 5-star, so we'll count it.
So 7 is the number for DeBoer.
7 is the number.
You're at 5 right now, and you have at least
one on
that's close. Right, they could come your way and take Jones. It would obviously. Still waiting his decision as well, but okay. Mr. DeBoer can't recruit the South. He can't recruit.
I do have to correct myself. I think I said yesterday that he was kind of down to Alabama and Auburn. I think Auburn has worked their way out of the picture with him, unfortunately, for them. So
that's going to change on August 1st.
Yes, you're right. I forgot. How could I be so foolish?
All these recruits, all these Alabama recruits are going to decommit on July 31st and commit flip their commitments to Auburn on August 1st after all these contracts become null and void. Unbelievable.
So 7 is your number. Like we said, you're hitting Tank Jones, maybe. We're looking at Tank Jones. Who do you want to be the 7th? Should we wildly speculate on who we want it to be?
Well, is it? What did you say his name was? Derek Cooper?
Is it Derek Cooper, running back? Get you another 5-star running back? I did not go into a lot of detail on who each of these 5-stars were, just because, like I said, we were doing it here on the show, kind of doing it right here at the beginning. So, but I can't imagine Alabama's ever had a class with 2 5-star running backs. Not that I can think of.
2 5-star back. I mean, Najee, yes. No one else in his class. That 17 class was loaded.
Yeah, that 17. That was the 7-1. That was
Najee, Judy. Yeah,
17 and 21 were your two that had 7 5-stars.
Right. Najee, Judy, Evan Neal, Tua Tagovailoa, Surtain.
Yeah, I think that was that year.
No. Now I have to look at it because 2020 Alabama recruiting class. Because now, because if it was Surtain, I'll be on four. Yeah. Okay. Henry Ruggs. Well, this is a 24/7, and 24/7 only has a few. 24/7's messed up on my page. All right. We need to pivot anyways because we're four or five minutes behind on our guests here. And okay. We've just been sitting here waiting for us. We want to remind everybody that this show is brought to you by Derek Daniels State Farm Insurance. We're live here in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. You can call him today at 205-758-3391 for all of your insurance needs, home, life, and auto insurance. You can find Derek Daniels today. We're right here just past the Tiger Rock on the left. He's got people upstairs waiting to take your phone call. He can get you a quick car insurance quote. You buying a car, you selling a car, you trading one in. Or if you look, moving season at the end of the month, goodness gracious, it's going to be hot in Tuscaloosa for you guys to move your apartments. But you do need renter's insurance. And so call Derek today at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Best Seller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
All right, Mason Woods, I hope that you'll join me on Saturday, or at least try to join me on Saturday. Convince Miss Melissa to join you as well. She can boo her butt off at me. I know that she's wanting to do that. Up there in Jasper, Alabama, you can all find us at the Star Spangled Bash, 7:30 in Swan Gym right there in Jasper, Alabama. The tickets are on Eventbrite today. You can check them out on my Facebook page, on my Twitter machine. I've already put those out. We will be at the Star Spangled Bash, and I have the pleasure and the privilege of becoming the guest ring announcer. I am so excited. I've never done this before, so if I choke up and get nervous right beforehand, cut me a break. But I know that beforehand, I'll get a little pep talk from our friend Joe Wood. Joe Wood joins us, New Era Wrestling star. And man, the last show, he just was on the wrong end of the stick. I was up there. He was beating the mess out of Wynn Brantley, the playmaker, and absolutely taking him to town. But you had DNR coming out doing the distraction ploy. You know, low blow this, hit over the head that. And I guess Jasper Reed told us that DNR is dead. They're bringing in Wynn Brantley, and they will become the draw officially at the Star Spangled Bash. So we're here to find out how Joe Wood is getting his revenge on Saturday. Joe, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Or your vengeance, I guess, retribution. We're not in the revenge business because that's not who you are. Good morning. How are you? And what's the plan for Joe Wood on Saturday?
I haven't been told exactly. Well, firstly, I'm doing well. Appreciate you guys having me. Seen a lot of people do this, and I was looking forward to getting my turn. So, but yeah, man, I'm not positive what the plan for Saturday is. I know what my plan for Saturday is. I don't know if that's going to follow the game script for, you know, what the booker has planned for Saturday. But like you said, I had beat Wynn pretty much senseless at that point, and then for whatever reason, they picked me to be the victim of them joining forces. And don't want to get pinned by Wynn Brantley. You know, like that is not something that is a career highlight for me. So I will be looking to name the three of them to the best of my ability. However that takes shape, I'm not positive yet. I haven't been told anything. I haven't seen anything announced, but that's what I'm going to do. I can tell you that.
Well, we appreciate your time, and we look forward to seeing you hopefully maim the three of them. We had Jasper Reed on 2 weeks ago, and Jasper told us that he was trying to set up a match with the Modern Day Kings, trying to set up some sort of elimination style match. He said that they needed to find new partners, so maybe a partnership with Ace and Cam is in your cards. What would if it was let's just put keep you in the driver's seat here. What's the deal with Wynn? What's the deal with Wynn, you know, being the antagonist, and why do you think they chose you to really cement their partnership?
I don't know what Wynn's deal is, because I mean, really, you know, I trained some with Wynn and Reed and Sam for that matter, you know. So to my knowledge, we had a pretty good history. I know before, you know, mine and Wynn's match, he'd already started to develop kind of a nasty attitude. So my guess as to why I was the victim here was Wynn was finally presented with something that he knew there was absolutely no way he was going to be able to beat me by himself. And finally went to those guys and made them that pitch that, and I don't know, Clash at the Keystone, the three of them kind of had a little bit of synergy going there as well, and they got absolutely annihilated by my brother Bubba and Az, just stacked them, like legitimately and literally stacked their bodies up at the end of that. So like when they don't have the numbers game, they're chumps, you know? So yeah, if they are putting together some kind of multi-man deal, like I am happy to join Ace and Cam. I don't even know that we would need anyone else. I don't know how big these teams are going to be, how many people it's going to be, but if I get the call for that, 100%, I'm there for that.
We're hanging out with Joe Wood from New Era Wrestling. Joe, I have been scouring your social media, and I have seen exactly. I was going to go right there. If you're watching us on the YouTube machine, Joe Wood just take a big old bite of a pickle. Let's save that. Perfect. We're going to get a new voicemail. Big old bite of the pickle. I've been seeing it on your social medias. You winning these wrestling matches, and you're going Dr. Pepper and a pickle in your victory celebration. What started that? And how was that food combination for you?
It's good, man. I didn't know it was something I liked. So I do, I know you've mostly covered New Era, but I also wrestle every Friday at Pro South in Piedmont. I know most of the guys you've had on pull double duty a lot of the time, like, Justin McKenzie, you had him on. He's another featured player over there. So I came out one night, I didn't have a match, right? There wasn't anybody for me. This was shortly after me and my brother had finally formed Bloodborne. Which is us finally tagging with one another, you know. And the week after that, Greg couldn't be there, or Lincoln couldn't be there. Apologies. shooting him. So I came out just to tell the crowd, like, wanted to say what's up to him. Didn't have a match scheduled, and this young upstart Trey Jordan jumped me. Shortly before that, though, I said, so since I'm not wrestling, I'm just going to get a Dr. Pepper and a pickle. I'm going to go to the back and I'm going to enjoy the show because I like those things. And he jumped me and we wrestled and I, you know, went over him. The next week, Lincoln was there. I got to get used to doing that. And we wrestled. Trey had a partner, a guy named LG, another young upstart, very small guy. So he didn't have much in the tank against us. But so we got over them. And afterwards, I was like, you know, I never got my pickle and Dr. Pepper, you know, last week. So Tubbs, who's a stand-up dude that works, does pretty much everything at Pro South. He's reffed. He's worked concessions. He does all kinds of stuff. So I asked Tubbs. I was like, hey, Tubbs, you know, can we get a couple of Dr. Peppers and a couple of pickles. So we stone cold the Dr. Peppers outside the ring, and the crowd liked it. You know, so I was like, yeah, maybe there's something to this. So, and then this past Friday, I got punched with brass knuckles. A guy named Stephen Colosi, he's a Philly boy, he's a dastardly guy, and left me laying. And Tubbs had the idea. He called the ref over and gave him a pickle and Dr. Pepper and sat it next to me. And it was kind of like a revive for me, like brought me back too. So I don't know. It's just kind of one of those things in wrestling. I think you just never know what people are going to respond to. But when they start responding to something, you got to roll with it, you know?
Bethany Duggar joined us on the YouTube machine saying that is an iconic move now. And so you'll be having to carry exactly the Dr. Pepper and the pickle everywhere you go.
I want to ask you about wrestling, being able to wrestle with your brother, just kind of what that experience is like, how nice it's been to be able to do that, to get into this together and to, go and get in there and knock some heads together.
So finally teaming up's cool. Like we did have our one team up. The first time we tagged together was the first Clash at the Keystone. It was last November. And that was a pretty surreal night, man. Like that was a Birmingham show, so it was a lot of my people were there. We started this in 2019. We've always connected over wrestling. I came through some rough times. Finally started getting my life back together. And that was one thing we always consistently talked about. So he just gets this wild idea. Let's go try it. You know, so he, I guess, Googles or searches or whatever. And he comes across Bubba doing these training sessions before the New Era shows. So we go, and we're like, you know, we might go just get absolutely beaten to death. And we can at least tell our friends like we tried, you know, but like when we both got in the ring, it was like, okay, this is pretty cool, you know. And we went through the paces of it. Now, Lincoln had been doing CrossFit for like 5 years before this, and I was unmolded Play-Doh going into this. So like he was a little ahead of the curve as far as getting ring ready and getting into shape. So he got in a lot faster, and then the pandemic hit and all these things happen where we're out of the game for 6 to 9 months because nobody knows what they're doing. And I kind of lost the track of it a little bit and just settled for a while that like, I'll just ref or ring announce or just be there to help. You know, I'm just happy to be a part of it. And then Ace Haven, one of the modern day kings, messages me. And we had run the Comic-Con Expo in Birmingham a few times, like the anime thing. Those shows were phenomenal because I mean that it was like, you know, 800-900 people in the BJCC, so it was really cool. And there was I was reffing this battle royal, and I had a Batman shirt on beneath my referee shirt, and Ace and a lot of his guys, it was a cosplay deal, and they were all Batman villains, and somebody bumped into me and the ref shirt came off and they saw the Batman shirt. So they go to jump me. And I turned the tables on them and got physical for the first time. And the crowd just detonated, man. And like, I went to the back after that on this rush and was like, I have to figure this out, you know? So I'm going to shout out David Padgett. He's one of my partners at work here. He has a strength training program. He calls DDST, Diamond Dave Strength Training. I went to him and I was like, get me strong, you know, and I think the results there probably speak for themselves. I would put maybe Az is stronger than me as far as locker room guys go, but I mean, I've put some serious work into this. So that sets me up. I started working at Pro South before New Era consistently, and Lincoln was a little bit of a scumbag at Pro South. So the origins of our story was not good. We were on different sides of the fence, you know, and we had a pretty serious blood feud. I attacked him at the family Thanksgiving and threw him off of a cliff. I don't know. There is footage of that. If it would definitely be worth your time to check that out. He did survive. I went to make amends around Christmas and was attacked with a wrench. Seemingly, he was the culprit here. We would later find out that he was not. It was the fabulous Douglas Sanders, who I've put in place since then. But that culminated, we had a last brother standing match this past December to put things to bed. And I think both of us kind of had a little shake of perspective after that. And then we had a match called Caged Warfare in February where he put his wicked ways to rest. And then he kind of took a hiatus, did some soul searching. And I recently had a, it was oddly enough, Wynn and Reed of all the Scumbags. They were my Trios Cup partners at Pro South. So we win our first match. You know, we're in the semifinals at this point. We get to the next one, and it's me, Wynn, and Reed fighting a team called Carmageddon. They were a man down, so we got a 3-2 advantage going into this thing. I go to tag them. They drop off the apron, essentially flick the bird, leave me high and dry. I don't know why they did this, but I had a little bit of a convoluted history in Pro South up to this point. So I was having trouble finding a partner, had to go on the partner quest. I don't know if you saw any of that, Joe, the videos we put up.
Yes. Nobody wanted to join you.
It was not a successful endeavor. And so I had to turn to Blood, you know, and that was the genesis of Bloodborne. We finally got on the same page. We are, as a tag team, we're 3-0. Nobody has beat us as a team yet. I don't think anybody's going to beat us as a team. And I'm sure at some point, pun intended, but this will bleed over into New Era before too long, I'd have to imagine.
Well, we're hanging out with Joe Wood, and we're getting ready for the Star Spangled Batch. It's going to be right there, Jasper, Alabama, Swan Gym at 7:30 this Saturday. You can get your tickets on Eventbrite. There are several great matches already announced. You can see Brother Azrael against Larry D. We had Larry D on last week, and he was telling us that he's going to bring the pain, basically, to New Era Wrestling. We've already got scheduled Wynn Brantley and Action Mike Jackson as well, or announced maybe. I mean, that was announced last time, but you know, Action Mike Jackson, he's a very busy man. So Joe Wood stepped in for Mike Jackson. That's what's kind of led us to this place. We also have Bubba Cagle against Max Sledd, and then of course the main event is going to be the Alpha Alexander Lincoln against the irredeemable Aiden Andrews. So I want to take you right to the main event. You did have the misfortune in the last New Era show at anniversary of being on the wrong end of what will be called the draw now at this point, but hopefully you were recovered enough to be able to watch Alpha take on Dawson Kimbrel. That was an amazing, really, really strong main event in the last show, and really Lincoln coming out on top just by a hair. Dawson Kimbrel was really, really impressive. And so after that match, he's jumped by the masked man that we've all been, who is this? What's going on? Man. He jumps him again and then rips off the mask, and it is Aiden Andrews. It is the irredeemable one. So I just want to put you in the brother role. You're in the back. You're watching all this unfold. What do you think about the masked man revealing himself and it being Aiden Andrews? And then how do you think this is all going to play out in the Star Spangled Bash main event?
Well, I think now that the curtain's dropped, Aiden will probably get what's coming to him. Like, I mean, and my experience is when you're wearing masks and jumping people from behind, you know, there's a reason for that tactic. You know, and I mean, I know smart bad guys. I know all these things. I'm like, I know there's a size differential there. So, I mean, if there's the strategy that I'm softening them up and taking my shots when I can get them, like, you know, there's a villainous part of me that can respect that. But, like, this is family, you know. So I waited back there for Aiden. Never saw him, so I guess he went out the side door. Maybe he just left his bags in there. But I know face-to-face when the bell rings, I know my brother's healthy. I know he's had his eyes set on this. That's one thing with New Era. You know, you got a month to get ready. I think it was a mistake taking the mask off because there's a lot of Aiden Andrews footage out there that can be watched and studied over the next month. If I'm going into a match against somebody in a mask and I don't know who it is and all I've seen him do is punch and kick me while I'm looking up at the lights, what am I studying, you know? So I think it was a tactical error when somebody's trying to be smart, but the ego just wouldn't let him, you know, you had to know it was me, right? So I think that was dumb. And I think, you know, I wrestled Aiden, put Aiden through a table at Clash at the Keystone 2, and I pinned Aiden. So I've passed along some trade secrets because Aiden is a sadistic guy to the point where I think he is a little gluttonous for punishment and can overdo it, kind of not take his spots when he needs to. So I've passed this along to my brother. I think he'll be more than ready on Saturday.
Well, I cannot wait for it because we saw Aiden Anders win that Fatal 4-Way, and he was – I mean, he's been really impressive anytime. You remember Aiden was the one who – he and Justin McKenzie were just chopping the mess out of each other right here in Tuscaloosa. You could hear it all the way to Old Colony right there. I mean, it was just
– yeah, I told Aiden recently – so I see Aiden at Pro South a lot, and I was like, if I had to do a fantasy draft – started my own wrestling promotion, he'd probably be at the top of my list. Because when you call him impressive, I mean, the guy, he can do anything. I think he is extremely impressive. I think he's one of the best wrestlers I know personally. But he needs to put the saboteur ways behind him. Because, I mean, he could do this the right way. And I think he'd be a great guy. But he's not doing that. And my history of seeing him on the stage has been making the wrong choice consistently. Now, it results in wins a lot of times. So, I mean, it's hard to say he messed up when he won a number one contender's Fatal 4-Way and he has a title match coming up. Like, I can't really criticize the results so much, but usually catches up to us at some point.
Well, hanging out with Joe Wood, but we've also talked a little bit of football with you outside of the ring as well. So why don't we try to incorporate some of our football fans as well? I think you might have been sitting there in our back end as we were debating Ty Simpson and what he's going to be this year. I'm on the optimistic side. Mason, I don't want to mischaracterize you. You're feeling
unimpressed. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Joe Wood, so what do you think about the presumed Alabama starting quarterback in 2025?
I mean, I guess that's, if you're the starter at Alabama, you're probably pretty good. I mean, I look around the big league right now, and like, there's a lot of those guys taking snaps on Sundays. So, like, there's a reason. I think going back to last year, I believe DeBoer is a pocket passer heavy offense. I think his offense runs better. I think he did the best he could to get what he could out of Milroe, but I think Ty, which I'm complete transparency, I'm not like completely familiar with this dude's game, but I think he's way more of a traditional passer than Milroe was. So like, I would expect maybe not the explosions. I mean, Ryan Williams is still there, so you're going to get that, but like, I would say probably more consistency, but maybe less entertaining would be a way I might put it. Oh, God, James Carr just added me in the chat.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize this. I thought you were – I'm so sorry.
To be fair,
the people who are not watching, hold on one second. James Carr comments, Joe Wood is an Auburn fan. So take it away.
Heel turn. Now, so my first name is actually Jerdman.
Oh, yes.
Full name. Yeah. Branded at birth. There was really no way around it. You know, my brother moved to Tuscaloosa, and here's some insight. He was once an Auburn fan, and but he moved to Tuscaloosa, God, probably 20 years ago now. So his majority of his life has been a very serious Alabama fan. So I, you know, don't give him too much hell for that. But, but the funny thing is I probably know more like about Alabama football than Auburn. Just I'm more of an NFL guy, complete transparency. I'm a huge fantasy football nerd. If I was an Alabama fan, I'd probably be a lot more invested in college football. I've been a lot more successful. But hey, you know, 2010, I lived in Tuscaloosa when Auburn won the championship. So that was a spitefully sweet moment for me. I've seen good things out of Auburn. I'm just a loyalist when it comes to that. Like, I just can't flip, you know. But I've also, living in Tuscaloosa through the Saban years, it gave me an appreciation. Like, I'm not despiteful. I always want Alabama to lose, Auburn fan or anything like that. Like, I do appreciate, like, y'all had the greatest coach ever. I think anybody that refutes that is just being difficult for the sake of argument, you know. But, yeah, I can probably talk more Alabama shop because I'm surrounded by Alabama people all the time. I'm hopeful, you know, maybe Freeze will get it together, but I've said that for 3 years now, so we'll see what happens. My girlfriend's a Tennessee fan too, so you would think we just absolutely hate Alabama in our household, and she's a little more negative towards Alabama than I am. But yeah, we have fun with it.
All you need to know about Auburn is that everything is going to change August 1st. That's when everything is going to start going well. Oh, yeah. Everything is going to start going Auburn's way on August 1st. You Freeze, let us know this week. But I do want to ask you about your NFL fandom. One, who are you rooting for on Sundays if there is a team that you're rooting for?
The Bears.
Two, how did you perform in fantasy football last year?
Oh, man. Last year, there's Bethany Go Vols. Last year was a down year for me in fantasy football. And to answer your first question, Indianapolis Colts.
My heart. I'm a Titans fan.
Oh, fair. My buddy Logan, I sent him the link to this. He's a Titans fan, too. Every year we go to Nashville for the Colts-Titans game. So the way I became a Colts fan is a very nerd-centric thing. But, like, I was never a big football guy until, like, 04, but I always liked playing the games. Like, I'm a big gamer. And I like passing. So early 2000s, if you like throwing the ball, you're going to probably pick the Colts because you had, like, Wayne, Harrison, Dallas Clark. Great targets. Peyton was like a 99 for 7 years in a row, you know. So as I got into football and started watching more football, that bleeds over into Sundays, and the Colts were like the hot team at that point. So I already knew a lot of their players, and I was like, I'll just go with them. This was 2006, and then they won the Super Bowl. So I was like, hey, this is cool. Like,
we don't talk about that Super Bowl here.
Fair.
go ahead.
I still like 2009's loss weighs heavier on me than 06's win did. Like, except Prince playing Purple Rain in the rain in the halftime show. That was sick. But like, so fantasy football this past year, I'm in a Yahoo league with a bunch of my friends. One of them has been in the chat today, James. I have been the King Lizard, as my brother would put it, of that league. We're going into year 18. I've won 8 of the championships in there. I think the next highest next to me is 3. And this past year, I was coming off 5 in a row, and I was going for 6. And we called the league Infinity War because I was treating the championships like the Infinity Stones, you know. And I told them, I was like, if I win it this time, I'm snapping and half the league has to leave. But, dude, it was just a year where, like, so many people got hurt in that first month. I was behind the eight ball out of the gate. And it turned into one of those, like, floating around 500 in almost every league near the end of the year. There was one league I run, I call Money in the Bank, that I did pretty well in. But then the playoffs, everything just fell apart. You know, I was that much like the Colts of the 2000s. I was the hot one seed and then just completely blew it in the first round of the playoffs, you know. So I'm looking forward to this year. I'm scaling back on the number of leagues I'm doing because I think I might have gotten a little butter scraped over too much toast last year. I was in 9 last year, so I'm coming down to 6. We're going to drop 3 of them and give some more focus to it, but I am looking forward to this year.
We're talking to our new fantasy football analyst, Joe Wood, on the Joe Gaither Show. I'm at 2 now titles in the last handful of years in our dynasty league. Well. Yeah, there we go. Mason and I had a great year together coming in on Mondays being like, did you win? Yeah, I can't believe it. Yeah, me too. Making it happen. So Joe is going to be joining us on Fridays in the fall to make sure all of our lineup, well, really on Thursdays, to make sure all of our lineups are set properly after his five championships in a row. We're going to steal any sort of analysis that we can. But we are hanging about Ocho Wood because of the Star Spangled Bash on Saturday. We want to encourage you guys to join us on Saturday. Look, we know it's a huge wrestling weekend. If you're into wrestling, you already know. It's going to be a massive Saturday all across the major networks. But you can record it. You can record it. You can save a lot of money and really have great interaction. The best part about wrestling to me, Joe, is the interactions. Is going to the show and you can rah-rah with the wrestler. And look, I'm rah-rahing at the TV on Mondays and Friday nights usually, but New Era Wrestling gives you a chance to be right there in the action. I'm expecting a little, I got to make nice with Damian Saratone. He and I had some heckling interactions in the last show at Anniversary 7. I do have to make nice with him at least before the show so that he doesn't eat me. But I enjoy just the back and forth, and it's really, really, really affordable. You got great snacks, great concessions, and you can meet a great community at New Era Wrestling right here in Jasper, Alabama. We're 1 hour away from Tuscaloosa. Very, very easy, accessible. You can get tickets on Eventbrite today. Use promo code Larry D to buy your tickets. You can find that right there on my Facebook and on my Twitters. I'll be putting out more links throughout the rest of the week. Joe, I just want to leave you the last few words here. Tell everybody maybe again what you want to do with Win Brantley, what you want to do with the draw, maybe what you're hoping to see. Obviously, nothing is set in stone. You can read the card today right there on the New Era page. You've got Larry D against Brother Azrael. You've got Action Mike Jackson against Win Brantley scheduled for now. We're trying to reschedule that from the last show. And you got Bubba Cagle and Max Sled. And then, of course, the New Era Openweight Championship, the Alpha Alexander Lincoln, and the irredeemable Aiden Andrews. So, Joe, we will see you on Saturday. I just want to leave you a few minutes to kind of spread your message right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central.
So, we asked about Win. I'm going to give a piece to the three of them. Reed, I would look into something for the entirety of your head, not just your face. You know, he's wearing that stupid little mask. I know Ace softened him up a lot. Shouldn't be difficult to finish the job cracking that thing open. So maybe go ahead and be looking for a head orthopedic or something. So really do not respect or like him at all. I think he's manipulating these other two. Low IQ individuals, obviously. Win. So, you know, me and my brother put them down pretty hard at Pro South. Squashed them pretty good. But Win pinned me twice in one weekend. You know, so man to man, I would say he's got my number, but he didn't do anything by himself. Again, it was Reed the whole time. So Win, I will flatten you as well Saturday. And then the one who you never hear about, Sam, Little Dotson. He used to promote himself as being too hot for firefighters, like, which is one of the great taglines in modern history, I think. Had like a picture of him with his arms crossed, you know, like it's the lamest thing I've ever seen. So I will say this. I like kind of what we're seeing from Sam, and I think there might be something redeemable in him, but unfortunately, he distracted me, allowed Win to take that turnbuckle pad off and knock me silly for a few seconds. So, along with Reed and Win, he's also going to have to get pulverized on Saturday. And like I said, I'm probably going to hit up MDK after this, talk to Cam and Ace, and see if we are putting some sort of New Era Avengers together for Saturday. Because, I mean, if it's the three of us against the three of them, or four on four, or five on five, or whatever, we've seen what happens when they don't have the numbers game. And if you thought what my brother and Az and Bubba did to them was an embarrassment, wait until you see what happens this Saturday. We'll string them up by their feet, leave them hanging from the rafters for the whole show.
We look forward to it. We're going to see you on Saturday at the Star Spangled Bash. It's Swan Gym in Jasper, Alabama. You guys can get tickets right now on Eventbrite. Just search New Era Wrestling, or if you're on my Facebook and Twitter, at JoeGay36, you can find the link very, very handy right there. Use promo code LarryD. I'm going to be doing the guest ring announcing. I'm going to play as neutral as part, a neutral party in the ring. And so you guys can come boo me. You can come cheer me. You can come do whatever you like. On Saturday, I've got a shot today, for Joe, for a USA tie to get in the spirit of Star Spangled Bash. So I'm really looking forward to it. I've had a great time with you today, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all having me. Thanks.
Absolutely. Mason, what are we going to do to get you up there on Saturday? It's not that far. We got to do it. Do I got to bribe Melissa?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough sell for her. I am, as always, very interested in going. She is much less interested in going.
That's okay. We'll bribe her by just telling her that one of the wrestlers will beat me up. I'll bring my Tennessee high school football spirit, and we'll try hard. We'll get run over.
Hey, you know, there's some good football being played there, I guess. So I hear.
Sometimes depends on the school. Not in my time, but Ty Simpson's school absolutely was great. State champions.
Yeah, when they played in front of all 80 people.
Hey man, you just wait. 52 days away. Ty Simpson's going to put up 450 yards, five touchdowns. Wrong. He's going to go 19 of 20.
I hope he does.
I mean, all he's got to do is hit the check down to Ryan and Latzia Brooks. The Isaiah Horton and Jeremy Bernard will block downfield. You'll get Josh Cuevas out there blocking downfield as well, and it'll be just joop, 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 all the way down.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And then we'll come in here on Monday, and I'll call him a check down king. And
check down Charlie.
Yeah, we'll have a great day. Is it too much? I just want elite quarterback play. I just like it. It's fun. So that's more. This is going to, and fan people are not going to love hearing this, but that's way more fun to me than a national championship. watching the game be played at the highest level. I don't know. That's more fun than murder ball, as the folks call it.
I'm not going to leave you on an island. You're damn right. Bryce Young in 21.
Come on!
Bryce, the wizard.
Running for his life.
Oh, Mechie and Williams are out here
that
somewhere.
Was electrifying. How could, if I could put those games into a pill form and take it every morning, I would.
Yeah, Bryce Young gave me life. But let's be honest, Bryce Young brought me through depression.
he was incredible. I just want to see that again. I need a taste of it again. I don't even have to, obviously no one will ever be Bryce Young again, but I just need that taste. I think you can get a national championship with that. They are not mutually exclusive.
Bryce with the technician of John Mechie and then the speedster of Jamison Williams. It's like, you cannot guard these guys.
Man.
Georgia.
You got some of that this year, I think, with Jeremy and Ryan.
Georgia got so lucky with those guys getting
there. Golly. And I hate having this conversation because it makes us sound so woe is me.
I know.
Pity party, what? But,
you play the game as is.
Yeah. Man. That would have.
Double ACL. So you take the, you play the cards you're dealt. Dang.
That's a tough one. That will be forever what if.
Yeah, being there in Indianapolis, and you started to see it unfold when Ajayi Hall drops the pass. When doesn't fight hard enough for it, whatever your perspective is. I thought, man, will someone help my man Bryce Young? Will someone help him? And no, he had no help.
No.
Ty Simpson's gonna have a lot of help.
Yes, he will.
And Ty Simpson, okay. If Bryce Young is 10, if Bryce Young is a 10, one to 10, and Bryce is a 10. Where is Ty Simpson? Is he 5 in your book? Is he 4-3-2? If Bryce is a 10, what's a 1? If Bryce is a 10 and Greg is a 1, so I'm sorry, Greg, that's not being respectful. You were a great game manager, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But as far as dynamic quarterback play, we can all be honest with each other. You're handing the ball off to Mark. You're passing it to Julio. You're working with Trent. No disrespect, but totally different styles of play.
Yeah, I mean, it's important. Like, this scale is national champion winning quarterback to Heisman winning quarterback. So, like, it's not saying you're at Greg's level is not necessarily a horrible thing.
Right. I'm not trying to disrespect you, Greg. Sure. I mean, great.
Yes.
Great in your own right, but different styles.
Absolutely.
If Bryce is a 10 and Greg is a 1, Ty Simpson is a...
I think for me right now, he is firmly a 6 with the opportunity to play himself into the 8 range.
Okay. See, not as bad as I thought. Mason doesn't hate Ty Simpson.
Maybe a 5, but...
Okay.
I gave him 6 to be a little nice.
I think he's closer to a 7. I think he's closer to a 7. Could get to an 8.5, 9.
I don't know that he reaches 9, but yes, I'm with you. Where I think he is. I think it all just my entire issue just stems from I know in my heart of hearts he's not getting a 10. Mm-hmm. And I really, really believe that Austin Mack or Keelan Russell can get to 10. Specifically Keelan Russell. Austin Mack is just my own fan. I just like Austin Mack. It's something about him. I think he's a good quarterback. I just like the guy.
Big arm.
Yeah, I like the kid. But I just think that those two guys can get to 10. Now, I think right now, you know, if you average out, you take 4 or 5 performances from the three of them, and you average it out, Ty probably has a better average than the other two. But I think the other two have a couple tens in there where Ty does not.
Well, we'll find out in 52 days, and we'll be back tomorrow on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central to keep it going. You can leave us a voicemail if we offended you today at 205-462-7340, extension 800. Of course, you can leave us a comment. We had a lot of YouTube comments today. I appreciate everybody who joined us on the YouTube comments. Lots of y'all specifically to see Joe Wood. We will see you on Saturday at New Era Wrestling, the Star Spangled Bash. I'll put out another little promo deal today at some point, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
Even though severe cases can be rare, respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is still the leading cause of hospitalization in babies under 1. RSV often begins like a cold or the flu, but can quickly spread to your baby's lungs. Ask your doctor about preventative antibodies for your baby this season, and visit protectagainstrsv.com. The information presented is for general educational purposes only. Please ask your healthcare provider about any questions regarding your health or your baby's health.